All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Gentlemen, did we have breakfast?
Of course, duh. Well, kind of, it's the most important thing. I had an egg white omelet with some spinach and a little feta cheese today for breakfast.
Chuck, how do you get how do you make it just white?
I buy the egg whites.
Oh.
Yeah. They come in a carton. It's kind of gross, but it's easier than like separating them. I know it's probably lazy, but it's easy for me to do.
Chuck, as you've improved your diet and improved your figure,
right?
It has come at the expense of our podcast.
I know.
I will say. The Chuck breakfast was one of the things we look forward to. I look forward to every week. I'm sure our listeners looked forward to it. No one wants to hear about your healthy lifestyle.
Keith, I've got some good news.
What is this?
I think Chuck's lying and eating the same old crap.
That is not good news.
Because then I would have a disease because I've lost a bunch of weight.
Because I would prefer he ate healthy and lied.
But it's not funny.
And made up a thing. Like that would be better.
So you would rather me say I had a Hardee's egg and cheese Velveeta biscuit.
It's been so long, Chuck, I can't even remember the name of the gas station place. I know it's a funny name and it makes me laugh.
It's like Megger Evers or something.
It's Broasters.
Broasters! Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It cracks me up. It's like Kenny Rogers Roasters, but then it's like a bro.
It's just Broasters.
But it's a guy in like salmon colored shorts.
Right.
Broasters wearing Crocs. Broasters.
It's insane.
I saw Dirk Nowitzki wearing Crocs. Thanks, Zaza Pachulia, for that picture.
Dirk don't care.
Tweeted out. Dirk is skinny. He's one of those guys you see on TV. You're like, that guy's really like waifish and gaunt.
Mm-hmm. He's Nosferatu skinny.
Right. And then, but then it's like, I remember the first time I saw him in person, like kind of up close, back in the day, sneaking down in the Memphis Pyramid when just going down right behind the bench and being like, oh, this guy is enormous. Like, he's cut, he's muscular, like he looks like, actually, video game athletes, they actually look like that. They're really muscular. But then this photo again, maybe he's lost weight again. He looked gaunt, scary, Lurch/Nosferatu, wearing Crocs.
Getting trapped by a stripper will take some weight off you.
That is the darkest story. I don't like talking about it.
I know.
It's amazing.
It is a great story. For those of you who don't know.
He got catfished and...
trapped.
Grifted. I mean, he got... I just feel sad. I feel like he has a pure heart.
Well, that's how
and he got. Like, I don't know why I believe that. I don't know what story has convinced me that he's a nice guy, because we don't know about these professional athletes.
Right.
We don't know what they do. But
I would just assume it was a product of being an insulated millionaire who finally gets some contact with somebody. And he's like, oh, cool. And then
this person
has no idea how to handle or
he was
navigate.
Going to marry her.
I know. It's
sad. Did they in fact get married?
I don't remember.
Fill in
when
the listeners on what actually took place.
Basically, Dirk Nowitzki was
conned into being engaged.
You're right.
Right.
And it was all online. And
it was a thing. And I can't remember who broke it to him, but like someone broke the news to him. It's like, you are, like, this woman's a con woman. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's proven. And then it's sad.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm going to eat breakfast.
That's it. What'd you have, Keith?
I ate an actual breakfast.
Liar.
Of not. Well, here's the thing. I eat sugar all the time. See, I've become the new.
Yeah.
Am I going to get my own?
Yeah, this year's it's just going to be your smash cut of just eating
with
jelly
bellies.
With
a side of sweet sauce.
Yeah, it's just going to be
awful.
Well,
so here's the thing. There's a lot of breakfast. You know, like, I eat breakfast foods, but breakfast foods have a great leeway with just cake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a cake. But the actual item, I went to, I think at this point, the official bakery of Fast Break Breakfast. I got a scone, a buttermilk strawberry scone from Lauren over at Sam and Zoe's. That's the official, unofficial.
Name dropping.
I'm name dropping a baker.
That's
at a
how
very
we
small
do
coffee
Fast
shop.
Break Breakfast.
Gives me a lot of street cred. So I had a strawberry buttermilk scone that wasn't too over-the-top sweet. It wasn't cloying, as they might say. But then, of course, you know, I'm like, well, I should probably get like a real sugary coffee drink. So I nailed that. Got an iced mocha, large.
I love how
plenty of sugar to power my morning.
Keith's breakfasts have devolved into basically a diabetic's worst nightmare, and he has gained no weight. I have effectively cut out all sugar, fats, and salts, and I've dropped like 7.5 pounds.
Yeah, I haven't noticed at all.
I know.
You look exactly the same.
No, I've no. Chuck, you look thinner. I've actually gained weight, but it's all in my organs. It's like my
kind of really.
I have a really dense kidney.
I think that liver is working overtime.
Yeah, yeah. I weighed myself the other day, and it was on the heavier side.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still luckily just the skinny guy with like the pooch, as the 37-year-old man
will, dad bod
will grow a little dad bod.
Yeah.
Little dad bod. John, what did you have for breakfast?
Well, the Masters started today.
What is that? Oh, the Masters. Mm-hmm. I thought you said the Master.
It's like the Super Bowl of racist sports. And so when the Masters start, I get up extra early and I crack a cold beer and make myself a pimento cheese sandwich and pretend I'm walking around the fertile grounds of Augusta.
Have you ever been to Augusta?
I've been to a practice round once.
There you go.
It was cool.
Yeah. Is there no official, you just got a cold beer? I mean, is there no official? It seems like they'd have some kind of, like, what's the mint julep? What's the official cocktail of
cold beer and a pimento cheese sandwich.
That's what it is.
And the beer and the beer is $1 at Augusta, and the pimento cheese sandwich is $1.50.
Really?
Yeah, they haven't changed their prices in, like, all the years it's been around, and they, like, are really proud of that, so pretty magical. My dad and I had a blast.
You know,
trashed that place.
I know they're proud of keeping that tradition, but that's kind of got them in hot water.
Yeah,
keeping traditions.
They're not kidding around.
Tend to not be good.
Didn't see any people of color except for Chichi Rodriguez when I went there.
Yeah, it's like, DJ Singh. It's like
we're very proud. We still is that a wink wink to the members? We're like, we're very proud. We still sell that pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50.
Hitler.
the same price it was when things were pure.
Do you remember the good old
probably
days
is.
When America was great?
Yeah.
And we had those $1.50 pimento cheeses, well, and people thought that was a lot of money.
Let's not make it political, Chuck.
No, I mean, that's just a common saying you hear often.
But is there no official beer? Is it just, I mean, they got to have Anheuser-Busch.
I think it was Busch stuff.
Heil Anheuser.
I was like, I've actually been in two practice rounds. My dad told me when I was very young, but I don't really remember that one, except that Lee Trevino was very mean. And then I went when like I was like 23. So my dad, I mean, it did. And when you're 23, you don't care what kind of beer it is. You're just excited. You can drink beer with your dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I had like 10 beers, and I think my dad had like 13 pimento cheese sandwiches.
Oh.
My dad is an unbelievable eater. And like you, never gains weight.
That's a toss-up to what's most unhealthy there.
I'm like his picture of Dorian Gray. I think every time my dad eats an extra meal, I just get fatter. I'm a picture hanging in his attic.
That's perfect. All right, those were our breakfasts. Now for our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our opportunity to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Well, last week we disparaged the Pelicans organization because they allowed that toddler terror onto the court to savagely attack the helpless Carmelo Anthony with a Care Bear stare and a hug. But New Orleans did the right thing, fired all the security guys.
Both of them, two dudes, no longer have a job now because of that little kid.
We have said things in previous episodes. I know you're apologizing for it.
Yeah.
But this goes in the win column for us.
Right.
Well, because
I was saying they needed to put
What if that wasn't a toddler? What if that was just a little person, suicide bomber?
I would have hoped they caught him at the gate before they
But
they didn't.
I don't want to bring terrorism
just
into
yelling.
This. John is screaming on this.
I take a lot of guff from being too whispery. So.
You do.
I'm most importantly, I did scream Heil Hitler, so that was
you were swallowing the mic and
that
screaming.
Was huge.
It's pretty great. No, I was gonna say they needed to put that kid down. That's dangerous.
They need to have snipers.
Shades of Monica Seles.
Take the shot, the Eagles.
But they did. They fired the $8 an hour usher, and they fired the probably $25 an hour police officer who was working.
Now, if they'd only fire Alvin Gentry, they'd really be getting somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They can't. They're going to have to suit him up. I mean, they're still running out eight guys. Tim Frazier, I think, got hurt last game. I think he bounced back, but I don't know if he'll be available.
Tim Frazier's been quite the story.
Tim Frazier running up some fantastic
10-day contract
fantasy numbers.
Yeah.
Tim Frazier is rapidly making the NBA rounds. It's like on his third or fourth team this season.
Let's put him on a train to Memphis.
I think
night train to Memphis right now.
You know what I think they need?
What's that?
They need the king cake baby to play center.
Oh.
That frightening.
Unfortunately.
Would you go into the pants the king cake baby was waiting for you?
Oh, hell
unfortunately,
no.
Unfortunately, Chuck, centers are the only thing they have. Yeah. They started the twin tower of Alexis Zajinska and Amir Asik.
Oh, man.
That's pretty rough. My breakfast in bed apology is, I guess we should apologize. We made some jokes earlier in the year about Luke Walton, mm-hmm. about
horrible.
Who has more wins, Luke Walton or me? Well, we're tied. We're both at zero. however, now with the vague Warriors swoon, losing their last two home games, and dear listener, you probably will not get this podcast before the Spurs Warriors game on Thursday night. So maybe they'll turn it around there. But anyway, no matter what happens in that game, no matter what happens from here on out, one, Luke Walton technically will have a better record, you know, when he was at the helm. I know officially he gets credited for no wins.
And he's on the ballot now.
Yeah, so Luke Walton was 39-4 leading the way from the sideline before this Spurs game. Steve Kerr already has 5 losses.
Fire Kerr.
And as John just
fire
said,
everyone.
The NBA ballots came out, and Luke Walton is an option to be voted for on Coach of the Year, even though he wasn't eligible for Coach of the Month.
What are
was
the ballots?
Or was he? He did win one.
He did win a Coach of the Month.
What are the ballots? Who's on the ballot?
I mean, all the coaches are on the ballot. They don't. It's not okay, the Academy. Gotcha. They don't send out.
Kerr and Walton were both on it.
It was pretty funny. Yeah, if they're trying to split the Golden State vote, just like Sandra Bullock and
Terry
Stotts nominated from two movies.
Yeah, Terry Stotts can walk up there and claim his Oscar.
I'm pulling for Steve Clifford. Yeah. One of the other funny things is they were saying that the online NBA ballots, this isn't part of my apology, but the online NBA ballots were like a drop down, like they take you to a link where there's a drop down to pick your thing.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, Seth Curry's going to get some MVP votes.
On accident.
There's literally like, Curry will like, I mean, you would think
another late season fantasy stud.
The NBA is forward enough that I feel like they would understand that any MVP vote for Seth Curry, that actually applied to Steph Curry. So they're very unlike Florida in the 2000
there
election.
There might be one true Seth Curry vote, and that's like their mom or something.
Yeah, throwback to the heavily Jewish Dade County all voting Republican.
Yeah,
filling out their ballots wrong. That's a look it up, kids.
Little hanging Chad action.
Yeah, look it up, kids. Chuck, what do you got?
I'm apologizing for not totally reading Sam Hinkie's letter.
You missed a lengthy tome of Asperger's spectrum ramblings.
I didn't have a lot of time. It's been a busy week, but I did sit down before the podcast and did, you know, peruse the letter.
I think you opened it up and your mind was blown.
The first paragraph made me feel like I was reading someone who was being derivative of David Foster Wallace, like, poorly.
Or are there, in fact, footnotes?
They could be. It's just,
I mean, maybe he should have said that I'm resigning to do Infinite Summer again.
It's like I'm restarting Grantland.
yeah.
And it's going to be about botany this time. Deal with it. It's botany and heart surgery.
There's, you know, long preambles, very wordy and specific allusions to other things, mentioning of his favorite authors.
Anybody else worried about his mental health at all?
Part of me
Did
thinks
the Sixers break him.
He's possibly that he lost his mind, or wanted to just really make something pretty because it's pretty to read. It's actually like interesting.
A Murray Kami novel.
It really made me disappointed in myself, like reading it. Right. Like I was like, I haven't.
This is Keith's reaction to most things that are good.
Right. Well, it was like, you know, there was a time in my life like I was pretty well read. Like I was acing all school, you know, like writing, like thinking about stuff, like doing critical thinking about parts of the world. And now I'm just like,
that seems very long ago.
I got an NBA podcast, and I balance my baby schedule around trying to play FIFA 12.
I got a baby dungeon.
Right.
Darkened baby dungeon.
That's for my own baby. That's not for others. No, yeah, like there's the him talking about out of the blue, he's dropping, he's like, perhaps you've heard of the 10,000 year clock. So an actual clock in West Texas they buried in a mountain. It's like, it's, I mean, it's literally an out of the blue. He's yeah. referencing this thing. He's
in
like,
hindsight, perhaps he's, Joel Embiid was the Gordian knot.
Yeah. He says in the section, a reverence for disruption. And actually, I read this, again, reading this whole letter, which was like the longest thing I've read in 3 years. I gave up reading for Netflix.
And you have this awesome Jonathan Abrams book sitting on your table that you've not touched.
No, yeah. I did. I bought Boys Among... Actually, my sister gave it to me. It was on my Amazon wish list for Christmas.
Yep.
So my sister got me the Boys Among Men. Can't wait to read it, because I even circled it on like my calendar. It's like, this will break my like two-plus-year hiatus from reading a book.
2+ years?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. I read a book that was bad.
Right.
And you know, I don't know how long...
Name names before the committee here?
I don't even remember what it was.
This is the House of Unreadable Books Committee.
I think I read... I honestly don't remember what it was.
That bad, that forgettable, eh?
It's okay.
Yeah, but I read a book. I think my takeaway, it wasn't like a classic. It was like, you know, like one of those New York Times last 20 years or something. I was like, this is a good book. And I was like, eh, it was fine. But I felt like I'd spent so many hours on it. Like I could have watched the entire Sopranos series.
Sounds like the Bible.
Yeah. And it's like it takes so long to read a book. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying, obviously, I've enjoyed the reading in my life, but now, like, there's so many distractions. It's like, oh, maybe I'll just punch out a 10 hours to read a book. I can punch out some movies.
But a 13-page glance into the beautiful, terrible mind of Sam Hinkie's changed all that for you.
Well, I mean, that and having this Jonathan Abrams book, mainly the Hinkie letter also just made me feel bad for not having my favorite part. Quotes hanging.
I know. My favorite part was in consecutive sentences mentioning Elon Musk and the physicist James Clerk Maxwell.
Well, also...
Like, and Bill James.
Right.
Of the Boston Red Sox.
I wanted to say that out of the... out of the blue, as I was saying a little earlier, a reverence for disruption, where he cites New Zealand's flightless bird, the moa, measuring 10 foot, 400 pounds, had the quote, the life tramping about the South Island for a great long run, then the first Maori explorers washed ashore in canoes, and that was that. This isn't a man's resignation letter, right. Which I'm telling you, if you skim this letter, you might miss the 5 sentences where he says, I'm not coming back.
Right.
I mean the 5 words. Like it's like just the tiniest thing. Where it's like,
it was all diversionary tactics. It was chaff.
It was chaff, Chuck.
It was chaff.
It's all just blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, and I won't be coming.
I'm ready for his.
And then it's like 10 more pages of stuff talking about how he actually does. He defends the process. Mm-hmm. You know, for the first time, really, like
really?
Where he talks about how the war chest is full. He doesn't use those words. He uses different terms, but he says like, right. We have 26 pick swaps or extra picks coming. We have as much first round ammo as like the combination of 2 to 3 teams. You know, we're going to have as much lottery talent. We'll be able to put on the court. We have our salary cap all set up.
If you put it into Google Translate. And you set it to from bullshit to English. It just says, you didn't trust the process. I quit.
Yeah. So, and also, I'll ring our bell again as a podcast. When Colangelo was hired,
right,
John, you were all over the Hinkie gone.
Oh, yeah, Hinkie gone.
Hinkie gone.
Yeah. Like, Hinkie gone.
I mean, and
they're going to bring in Danny Ferry. It's going to be
and
amazing.
And that wasn't a unique.
No.
I mean, lots of people
obviously
saw the writing on the wall. And I don't think Danny Ferry is going to, you know, because, I mean, they've named Colangelo. I'm curious if they still want to bring in another voice.
I mean, I think the disgraced Danny Ferry is a pretty good buy-low candidate because...
I don't think they can handle that PR. I think they're all about PR.
Yeah,
right now.
That could be. Yeah, that's a good point.
Why do people hate Brian Colangelo?
I want to formally wrap up. Those were our breakfast in bed apologies.
Right.
Well, let me just say I'm looking forward to his follow-up treatise, Schrodinger's Shooting Guard.
Right.
Due out in the fall.
But I do, before we get to our best and worst, this deserves a little more conversation. I mean, we've talked about them. They've been interesting. We've even been angry how much we talked about such a horrible team. But they've been a curious thing, an experiment. And so, Chuck, you ask, why are people angry or why do people dislike Brian Colangelo? The reason in this circumstance, I think, is, I mean, one, Brian Colangelo, he's won Executive of the Year, but he's never won a title. His run in the Raptors not great in foresight. In hindsight, looking at it,
right? Yeah. They've upgraded with Ujiri, I believe.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah. He's the one who kind of built this. The core in Toronto.
No. He was fighting. He was fighting for the old core.
Yes.
To stick around, like he took them from bad and
I think
made
Colanto
some.
Was a very average GM.
I think he's yeah. I think that's yeah. fair. He had a great run with the 7 seconds or less Suns.
Right.
There's some. You never know who gets all the credit for what. Lots of people credit.
In hindsight, it's probably just Steve Nash.
It is right.
Seeing D'Antoni go elsewhere.
So then. I think the problem is Sixers fans were fed this company line of stick with it. We're going to bottom out. We're going to do all these horrible things. And we even joked when they traded like a second round pick for Ish Smith. Mm-hmm. We were and like, or maybe they traded two. We're like, oh, this is the start of the race to mediocrity. Like, no, like it's now so embarrassing because they hired Colangelo. Then they started trading some picks for some journeyman point guard,
some waivable players
just to win some games. And so now when Colangelo comes in, and it also doesn't help, obviously the nepotism aspect of it is, I think, troubling as a fan.
Sure.
Like if Brian Colangelo had his own resume under his own name,
right.
You give him a little more, but like he was the GM of the Suns when his daddy owned the Suns.
Right.
So you're like, meh. And then to come from this radical, we're breaking the whole team down. And we're gonna rebuild totally through the draft. We're gonna stash these players. Like Embiid is hurt, maybe he'll come back. And it's gonna be painful. We're gonna lose all these games. So then to make it through, like you're Andy Dufresne and you crawled through the whole sewer, you know, like just to get to the outside and pull yourself out. And then once you pull yourself out, it's like, oh, and now actually we're just gonna. Why don't we just give you like. $20,000 a year and go live in the halfway house, like you know, like you go to a Red Did or whatever. Like it's some kind of it's a very uninspiring choice, and especially when you could see it coming with the Colangelo hiring, the Jerry Colangelo hiring. You're like, oh, he, you know, is he in this just to get his son a new job? His son who does not have a job, a son who the Brooklyn Nets are looking for someone to run their team, and they're like, nah, we're good. Like let's try a new idea, a new voice.
If I'm a Vivek Renadive or a Robert Pera or a Russian oligarch, I'd take a long hard look at Sam Hinkie. As poorly as he's done, he has to be so motivated to disprove what's now his reputation.
And I think he gets some negative reputation for one being hard to deal with, the way he communicates apparently not great.
Sounded like a southern gentleman to me on the Zach Lowe podcast.
Yeah, he definitely had I was surprised with his accent. But and then there's the Drew Holiday malfeasance where he you know they hid the injury
right
status of Drew Holiday and ended up getting fined for that. But I don't know. So I think what you said, I would consider Brian Colangelo completely average.
Right.
Like, as in, like, he's not going to do anything obscenely bad. A lot of his moves in Toronto were kind of like, yeah, like, that wasn't great how wrapped up to the point where they did decide to, you know, let's get him out of here.
Right.
So.
Unless you're a big Bargnani fan.
Like, I know as a Sixers fan, you can be excited that they do have a good chance of getting two really high picks. You have guys coming in. You have a lot of cap room. And we've been very critical. I've been very critical. I thought the process was kind of dumb. Like it trapped themselves into the only way to be good is to nail your draft picks, which is still a crapshoot.
But in the words of the treatise, sometimes you must zag when others zig.
Yeah.
Confucius Hinkie say.
Man, he was. Jeez. Let's say he would say like in so and so's most recent new book this and this he quotes this person that's like Inception, like we're right. inside right.
I think he was using like neurolinguistics to try and mind blitz his
it's a quote
readers
in,
of the
inside
letter
inside a quote. I guess to wrap up the Sixers little aside, I will steal from Mr. Hinkie's letter himself. The illusion of control is an opiate. I love it. It's great.
Sounds awesome.
Opiates make you constipated.
Spoken like someone who read that in a book. All right. Before we get to our steak and eggs best things, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. You get a box in the mail full of NBA goodies. They have now every NBA team, as we've been telling you. They have subscriptions starting at $14.99. If you enter the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, you will get 30% off that order, and we get a little bit of that to help us keep doing the podcast. So visit fanessentials.net and get all the essentials you need. All right, guys. Steak and eggs, best thing. The best thing you saw in the last week.
My best.
Yes, Chuck.
There's only one. As a Miami Heat fan.
Yes.
I'm super excited about Josh Richardson.
Oh, yes.
The man.
He is playing out of his mind over the month. Rookie of the month, Josh Richardson, who beat the likes of former Heat rookies to never win one. And Dwayne Wade, Glenn Rice, Steve Smith, never won rookie of the month. Josh Richardson did. And it, what could be one of the most impressive draft classes of all, you know, of recent history.
He's beating guys like Big Cat.
Yeah. So Porzingis and Okafor and you know, guys like that. So he's shooting 59% from three over the past month, 12 points a game, 1.1 steals.
He's 35 minutes off the bench the other night.
He's looking real good. He's
serious
aggressive.
Minutes.
He's aggressive on the perimeter defensively. He attacks the rim and he can shoot the three, which is looks like a, you know, and obviously 59% is unsustainable for a season, but looks like he is going to be an above average 3-point shooter, which Miami desperately needed in order to have some sort of spacing.
He's kind of the reason for the season right now in Miami.
He's doing well, and it makes the, you know, moves by Pat Riley to get rid of Mario Chalmers and Napier and Norris Cole. It makes sense.
And Beno Udra.
I mean, he's not really playing point guard. Really.
But he's getting a lot of the.
I mean, he is sort like he handles the ball sometimes.
When Dragic comes off, they run these weird sets with him and Wade, and it depends who brings the ball up. I don't care who brings the ball up. But he's getting a lot of. He's handling the ball.
I know. Positionless basketball. Blah blah blah.
Right.
He's one of the shortest guys on the court, and he's handling the ball a good bit.
Right.
You know, and it's like, he's still the example. I think I've said something similar to this before. He like disproves a thing that I didn't believe in, which is you're like, oh, this guy's an athlete. We'll teach him how to be a point guard. Oh, he's not a shooter, but we can teach him to shoot. Like everyone says this. Every NBA team says this about everybody they draft, especially a second round pick or an undrafted guy. And so far, again, tiny, small sample size. So far, they've done it. Like, how is this guy shooting 60%?
Right.
Well, still.
I guess, sort of debunk what you just said, Keith, this is what he did in college. He was a volume shooter who would get really hot, but he also would get really cold, and he did handle the ball a lot. And like the Heat, when Dragic isn't on the floor, the Vols didn't have a viable point guard option at all. So he was just kind of de facto ball handler.
Right.
Not really a distributor. He either goes to the hole or shoots a long ball. But hey, in today's NBA, that's kind of what Daryl Morey's of the world want.
Right. And he's good off ball. He makes smart moves with backdoor cuts.
I'm curious what his career is going to look like. If I had to guess, I think it's a thing where he parlays this into a contract, you know, like a decent contract. He gets a couple years with the Heat, parlays that into like a decent mid-sized contract, but never ever captures. I mean, it's not a big stretch to say, I'm calling it now. He's not going to shoot 60% for three for his career. But I think there's a good chance, like, we never see anything like this again.
Yeah.
Like, I think of, like, I don't know. I don't want to put Marquise Daniels in this small hole.
Oh, but I love Marquise Daniels, another SEC baller.
Marquise Daniels, one of my favorite NBA players ever, but it's mainly based on like half of a season, rookie year. Like he was on the awesome Mavs team, put up near triple-double numbers. Like his per 36s were ridiculous.
Very similar college careers too.
But yeah, he was just like the Swiss Army knife type player in college. And then in the NBA, you're like, you're kind of a point, you're kind of a guard. You're kind of like, you were undersized, you were undervalued in the draft. And so you had this great thing, but so I don't know. So maybe... But I'm curious.
Josh doesn't have the outrageous hair game of Marquise, though.
Oh, yeah.
Marquise looked like one of the villains from Predator 2.
Yeah.
Also Marquise's post-NBA actually Twitter life is actually pretty good. He's throwing some photos out there. I'll leave it to our listeners to Google those.
That's great.
I need to Google now.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me for a while.
Okay. Oh, well, then I will do my best thing. My best thing goes to a guy that I've put down before and apologized to before on this podcast. Perhaps the toughest guy in the NBA, Mr. Jose Juan Barea. He has helped a Dallas Mavericks team, which I pretty much wrote off. Their playoff odds got very low at one point. Since then, the Mavs have won 5 games in a row.
Smack the Rockets in the mouth.
Beat the Rockets in the mouth. And I was even enjoying on Twitter, Josh Eberle was going at some fans who were calling, you know, JJ Barea trash. And it was like, have you not, like, is that Western Conference Player of the Week, JJ Barea, you're talking about? Is that 2011? Chuck knows. Chuck was there.
I do.
2011 Finals, JJ Barea, who...
The heater.
Thrust right into the starting lineup, and most people didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
The heater.
And he just killed it. So, despite Dirk, in this 5-game winning streak, which, again, when they are on the cusp of falling out of the playoffs completely... Dirk is only shooting 27%. He's only averaging 12 points a game despite playing 33 minutes. However, JJ Barea, killing it, averaging 24 points a game on 54% shooting, hitting half his threes, 7 assists. It's amazing. He's averaging 24 and 7. As you alluded to, I believe, he's carrying in fantasy championships. I know the fantasy light's going off, but...
yeah.
He's the random guy putting people over the top. But not only that, real life, Dallas Mavericks, who not only just beat the Rockets, but they're the team, like, they're the team, I think, that maybe makes Rockets fans the most angry.
Oh, sure.
The Rockets, incredibly disappointing.
Interstate rivals, baby.
The incredible disappointing season. And then to look at the Mavs roster and be like, that team is ahead of us. And that team keeps beat, like.
Well, Bernie Bickerstaff Jr., meet Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle. He's a warlock.
A shaman.
He's the best. What's your... John, you got a steak and eggs?
Shaquille O'Neal has had quite a month.
Yeah?
You know, some might think I'm talking about him being elected in the Hall of Fame. I'm not. Kazam entered the ring in a battle royal at WrestleMania. Not only doing pretty well, but also dispelling all of the myths in the kayfabe of wrestlers' actual heights as he towered over the supposedly 7'4" Big Show.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He was like 5-6 inches taller. Yeah. And it was fun. I mean, Shaq, as asinine as he may be in the studio, unless he's doing the Shaqting a Fool segment, is still...
Which, let's be honest.
Right.
That is just presented on a platter for him to...
Yeah.
Right.
He's read. Not, yeah, he's not doing anything.
He's not going through film.
Yeah, he's still good. At, he's still good at certain things. Making a spectacle of himself, judging dunk contests, and dancing with the Jabberwockies.
He's really good at poetry, too.
He's really good at falling over when he runs to the big board.
Yes.
He's good at physical comedy.
He's a pratfaller. But it's just I mean, when Shaq is gone, we will miss him, because he's probably one of the goofier... More relatable players that we've ever had.
I mean, he's that rare superstar that was absolutely the most frightening player on the court.
Yeah.
And the most lovable guy off the court while he was playing.
I mean, who didn't love Shaq when he was on the Magic and would break dance before games?
Well, I think Shaq enters the world of NBA guy too, where like he was a guy that like hardcore NBA fans would actually, he would make them angry.
Yeah.
You know, like some guys are like, I hate this guy. Like
He could be so much more.
He's not doing
played himself into shape.
And then people would argue the whole, he doesn't have the basketball skills, you know, like he doesn't have.
Man, that is so crazy though. Cause he's one of the top 10 greatest players who ever played.
Oh yeah.
Oh, easy.
Absolutely. Incredibly dominant player, but also beloved by everyone who casually follow the game.
Right.
Beloved.
Right.
You know,
yeah, he's one of those guys, man. And I just think I'm glad he's in the hall. AI's
the
in the hall,
though.
We got
way bigger achievement.
You're right. You're right. If I was part of a
record breaking 101,000 people at WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
That's pretty good.
Dallas, Texas.
Let's move to the opposite of that. The steak and eggs best thing.
My mind gets dark.
Okay. So with the cream of wheat worst of week. Allen Iverson.
Oh yeah.
As we said, Shaq made the Hall of Fame. My worst is not that Allen Iverson made the Hall of Fame. My worst is that the Grizzlies now have a Hall of Famer. And it is Allen Iverson.
That's him.
Who never even played a home game.
So, I did not know he never played a home game. I've only seen Allen Iverson in photos as a Grizzly. I never watched him play.
Never wore the home jersey.
That's incredible. My worst of the week, we touched on it earlier, Golden State's little hiccup, now stuck at 69 wins, 69-9, which is my favorite record of all time. It's sad to me, Golden State, that you are ruining what could be an absolute boom in the crying Jordan face market. You could, on your own, revitalize the meme industry in America by defeating this record, this 72-10 Jordan Bulls record. And I'm just very sad for the state of all of those guys who use Photoshop to make Jordan stand on another Jordan crying on another Jordan.
Yeah.
That's a very important industry to me. And
a whole team full of Jordans crying.
You're making me mad, Golden State. We need you to win out. So I can see
quit mucking about.
I can see more crying Jordan face.
Again, I mean, we might need to look into the future. There's a good chance the Warriors will have won number 70 by the time this podcast hits the masses' ears.
Well, is there a good chance? Pop seems
well. And here's the thing:
not letting them do it.
And no Spurs are resting tonight. I just read that.
Diaw's
out. Oh, okay.
Ooh, that's actually big because that pick and roll with Diaw was what dismantled them last time.
Right, but it's
that high one.
Ooh. It's no one's resting. Anyone who's not playing is injured. So it's not
right.
You know, so they're
it's
you
not, know what it's not the team scrambling over themselves to try to match up with the
Diaw's injury report. Right. Read too much wine,
but I think. What you could have is a very interesting game here tonight that we're you know podcasting prior to Spurs Warriors, but we have something that could be really big going forward in the playoffs, a huge psychological advantage for the Spurs if they can crush their hopes of beating the Jordan Bulls record tonight in a must-win game historically for the Warriors if they want to reach that record. So it could be a big psychological advantage moving forward in the playoffs.
Let's go and embarrass ourselves. What is our we are throwing this out into the abyss. What's your 8-second prediction for Spurs Warriors Thursday night?
I think the Warriors pull it off.
Spurs win.
I think the Spurs win and Steph struggles. So I'm ready to have that thrown back in my face.
John, you know you're wrong, right?
I know now. I heard what Keith said.
Yes, sir. All right, John, what's your, you got a cream of wheat worst of week?
Well, before I even get to it, let me just ask you guys a simple question. How's it going?
Seriously, how's it going?
Phil Jackson is continuing his reign of stupidity and terror.
Philly Blunts.
He wants to extend Kurt Rambis's contract.
Oh, my Rambis.
He did, however, tweet the hashtag embrace the serpent. Which has really opened up some things for me in my life.
What?
What? Is that a euphemism for masturbation?
All I can say is embrace the serpent has really opened up some things for me in my life.
You took this to a dark place.
Yeah. You said you were going to take it to a dark place.
You took it to a darker place. You took it to the darkest timeline. What on earth has Kurt Rambis merited in his career to even have this job?
I would say, what have the Knicks fans done to deserve this?
Jesus.
All sorts of crazy stuff going on there. Erling. Shooting.
Oh, the Clint. I don't think we ever covered much of that. No, but back in the day.
Keep clean, Thony, in your thoughts.
That definitely was one of the weirder.
Yeah, they.
I mean, the man was set up.
Yeah.
The things I was hearing about the Clinton Early shooting. So if you don't know, Clinton Early was at a real sketchy strip club, apparently in a real sketchy, the meatpacking district or something.
No, there's nowhere like that in Manhattan. It's probably in Queens. He was Long Island City.
Yeah. So I don't know geographically what I heard. And I think I heard guys talking, maybe like Amino Hassan was saying, like, this is a part of town that NBA players are told not to go to.
Right.
But apparently he went to a club, and then after the club, like, you know, it's a thing where he was spotted throwing money around, literally throwing money around, and then the phone call went out, like, hey, this guy's here, and then when he went out, he was attacked, shot. You know, luckily he survived. But anyway, it was one of those NBA security things. So, yeah, the Knicks have had a weird year. I mean, obviously Derek Fisher. They got rid of him, who looked like he was, I mean, for what, say what you will about the man's off the court proclivities, seemed like he was doing fine.
Yeah.
With the team.
Yeah.
Although they didn't feel like, you know, the company line was he wasn't embracing or he wasn't optimistic enough.
Yeah.
He was talking too negatively about the team and wasn't giving them the right attitude. But Kurt Rambis has been an NBA coach disaster.
Yeah. And he's not doing too well. The biggest buzz around the New York Knicks locker room is a FIFA PlayStation 4 tournament. And the most heated I've seen Kristaps Porzingis.
This sounds like my Rick League teams.
Yeah. And well, Kristaps Porzingis' only like real news in the past week is like threatening Sacha Vujicic with death because he cheats in FIFA.
Also, how do you cheat in FIFA?
I don't know.
Game Genie?
He slaps the controller out of his hand.
Yeah.
Nice. When your buddy gets up for the pee break, you take out his goalie. Classic.
Also, he's running like the Knicks are out of it. The Knicks don't have they don't have a draft pick.
Stapps isn't playing anymore.
But Stapps is sitting out, and Carmelo, he's playing like 40 minutes a game in these blowouts on like a hurt leg.
It doesn't make sense.
So yeah, that is pretty dark. All right, so those were our cream of wheat worst of weeks. All right, moving on to our Hassan Whiteside Coxit back to Waffle House presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. I think what I want to talk about is actually our fake gambling over under totals, win totals.
Our fake gambling, my real game.
Well, so John actually puts real money on this, but as the last, we're entering the last week of the regular season, and I wanted to see which of these over under win totals were still up in the air. And so I was going through what we did last year.
Hard to beat.
So last year we did really well, actually. So as a podcast, we all did well individually, but when you combined our minds, when the hive mind got involved,
the brain trust,
we did great. So last year we were weirdly unanimous on 15 of them, but we went 12-3.
Ugh.
So my thought was, good God, we should put money on this stuff.
Why do I bet on football?
Yeah, you can't make money on football. So again, John is the only one who actually has some form of a, maybe problem. Actual real life problem.
Degeneration.
But again, in the fictional universe of fake money, I did want to see how we did and what we should be looking forward to for the final week of the season. So I was looking at it. We actually, guys, we were unanimous this year on 10 of them. Hmm. So only unanimous on...
We're drifting apart.
On 10 of them. But I started to like what I see. So the ones we were unanimous on, Golden State was 59.5. That seems so low now. It's hilarious, I think, how low that is.
Pretty sure we went over on that one.
So unanimously over. That's one.
Got him.
Clippers, 57. Unanimously under. Two. Sacramento Kings, Vegas gave them 35.
We didn't do it, did we?
Unanimously under.
We don't believe.
We don't believe. Although, honestly, I had them at 29. I would have bet a lot of money they were going to win 29 games. So
right. They
have shoved that in my face and got...
Boogie got that trio.
Boogie got his magical 30th win and then got the rest of the season off for road games.
Mm-hmm. Career milestone.
I don't understand. So why are the bad teams resting players on road games? Like, that's just the weirdest...
I think it's the Pop effect. They're like, Pop rest players, it must be good.
Right, but it's like what we should
be more like Pop.
We have fans. Why don't we try to win basketball games?
It's the end of the season.
Exactly.
You're getting more.
Play basketball.
I know, but you're getting more into like, why would we, if this guy has a little nick that isn't worth an injury report.
They don't have nicks.
I mean, sometimes it's not worth going on the injury report.
Basketball is definitely the worst sport to have season tickets for.
Oh.
When it comes to stuff like that.
I mean, guys just aren't playing more anyway.
And as far as the Kings are concerned, a player might not play because someone forgot to hand in paperwork.
That was the one CJ McCollum.
Like, I had hockey season tickets for years. I mean, those guys would play like in a meaningless game with bones protruding from their foreheads.
Of course.
Right. All right. So those three, all right. And then the Pelicans, whose over-under was 48.
The Pelicans.
That was our lock of the season, yeah. Too. And that was most people's. That over-under kept going down, even though we did it like right before the season started.
Right. There's a bigger lock.
So anyway, we nailed the... I was a little... So the Western Conference, we actually, so unanimous on those four, got them all right. I'm a little embarrassed. John Burr was really high on the Lakers.
Why?
You broke us down. Me and Chuck were all about them being horrible.
I thought they were going to suck.
But anyway.
Does anyone remember what was my argument?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think you thought that they Brandon Bass was really good.
I think you were like super excited.
We'll have Maybe to, I thought they Lou drafted Williams. Bill Russell instead of D'Angelo Russell.
we'll have to go back and listen to see why you were on that one.
I don't think I can handle it.
All right, so Eastern Conference, Toronto, over under 46.5. We all went under, actually. Yeah. We all went under. So that's no good.
I thought the Dwayne Casey effect would be more profound.
Right. Detroit Pistons, we were bullish.
That was the lock.
I was not as excited about your lock, but you right. love that one. Yeah. So they were 36. We got that. Indiana Pacers were 40.5. Ooh,
maybe that was the lock.
We all went over.
They had Paul George back.
I had Paul George. But we didn't know what Paul George was going to look like.
Well, he looked pretty Paul George-ish.
This is just a coin flip. We're not saying we had an expertise here. This one ended up being a coin flip. Atlanta Hawks, 50.5.
I probably went under on
we
that
We just
one.
All went under, but nailed it.
Yeah.
Orlando, this is what we're walking for, boys. Orlando's over and under was 34.5.
They're like 32.
They got 33 wins. They need two more wins.
How many games they have left?
They have 4 games left, 2 of against them, against Chuck's Heat, and the Bucks and the Hornets. So seems highly possible they will win 2 of those games.
I don't know. Heat are fighting.
But that's
the Heat are fighting.
That's something for me to keep my eyes on. Yeah, luckily the Heat and Hornets are still in the playoff positioning battle.
That Bucks Skiles matchup is a grudge match.
Oh, that is a grudge
match. That's a grudge match. I'm watching the rest of the Magic games. God help me.
And then finally, on the ones we're unanimous on, the Washington Wizards at 45.5. We loved that under.
Wow, there were some stone cold lead ding dong locks.
I mean, in retrospect, it always feels like that seems obvious. That seems obvious. So I don't think it was clear on it. But so just to recap though, we were unanimous on 10 of them. We got 8 right, 1 wrong, and the Magic one's up in the air, guys.
We should be rich.
I need to gamble. I need to provide for my family.
Follow me.
We would
when there were one set of footprints. That's when I walked to the bookie alone instead of with you guys.
We need 3 sets of footprints.
I can text Pickle on your behalf. Excellent. I give you a $5,000 line of credit.
Wow.
You just tell me what you want, and I'll turn it in for you.
You're more irresponsible than my bank.
Pickle knows how to get his money better than the bank, though.
But anyway, yeah. So
Pickle's only about 5'5", but he drives a BMW coupe, and he's got muscles on top of his muscles.
We need to start an online little advising service.
Right.
I'm just saying, 12-3 last year, at worst, 8-2 this
year. Write these downs.
Goodness, how are we not making actual money on this?
Parishpicks.edu, man. Educate them. Subscription service.
I think the moral of the story is gambling should be legal, and I should be doing it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
In other news, the Tennessee attorney...
My whole life would tell you otherwise.
In other news, the Tennessee attorney general today wrote or made a statement that all fantasy sports are illegal, not even specifying that money have to be involved. He seemed very unaware that it's free to play fantasy football.
Right.
That's one of the great thing about old lawmakers is they're just not even understanding how the world works, but writing laws about it.
Nothing surprising about a Tennessee lawmaker doing something stupid.
Jesus Christ!
One of the dumbest
states.
One of the dumbest governing bodies in the entire world is like this Tennessee state legislature.
Really hell, awful. I can bring my gun to my bar though, baby.
Yeah, we can.
We can
bring the gun. The governor finally made some. I don't know what powers governors have, but he made some governor edict that no, you cannot bring your guns onto the legislative plaza.
I could for a minute though, baby.
There was a minute we could
target.
Our
practice.
Governor also is embroiled in a terrible oil scandal.
I was hoping it was a sex scandal.
Did he not have a? Was he not invested in the Panama Papers? Was he not?
Oh, Lord,
that's actually like a badge of honor for a state governor.
Heck yeah!
I think to be involved in that. Anyway,
a plan, a Panama Papers.
All right, so. Moving on to the
bully pulpit.
Moving on to the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes, which is awarded to the worst performance in a box score. We had a lot of good competition.
Did Jimmy Butler make it?
No, he ended up salvaging that game. It was like three of it, you know.
He barely in the Grizzlies game. Yeah, we were doing our live rabble, our Grizzlies watch party for Jimmy Butler, who was just sitting at like 0 for 5, 0 for 6 for most of the game.
First half.
First team, all defense, Tony Allen.
Tony shut the water off. All right, we have a handful of nominees. Alex Lynn with the rare big man nominee, 1 for 10.
Say what?
Alex Lynn, 1 for 10. Damian Lillard, 2 for 13. Dennis Schroeder, 2 for 13. Reggie Jackson.
These are some bad performances if these guys didn't get in.
Reggie Jackson, 3 for 15. Kyrie Irving with the Stackhouse line of the night, actually 5 for 23. But we have three official nominees.
Good Lord, Keith, you must have been fully engorged this week.
Chronologically, as they occurred during the week, Dame Lillard in a win versus Boston.
So Dame Lillard got an honorable mention and is a candidate?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I was struggling which Dame Lillard to go with. 2 for 13 or 3 for 16.
This bud's for you, Dame.
So Dame Lillard, 3 for 16, 14 points, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 3 turnovers. Bradley Beal, who has been very disappointing recently, 2 for 16 and a loss to the Clippers. He had 8 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. All those things are not bad. 5 fouls, love it. 2 for 16, 5 fouls, 2 turnovers.
Stuffing the stat sheet.
That is amazing. And then finally, as mentioned earlier in the JJ Barea love, Dirk Nowitzki shots a little bit off in a win, as they've been winning, in a win against the Timberwolves. He was 4 for 18, 13 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 turnover.
Maybe he's not kicking people in the balls hard enough while he shoots.
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, he needs to keep doing it. Because they're winning.
This seems like a clear Dame Lillard victory.
I'm casting my hat behind Brad Beal's 2 for 16.
No way. The 5 fouls puts him over the top for me.
No. But he had the 5 fouls.
That's perfect.
Oh, you love it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not
contributing at every level.
Nah. Yeah.
John rigs our fantasy league to give you positive points for fouls.
Doesn't tell anyone.
Dame Lillard got an honorable mention.
This is not a
cumulative.
Yeah, it's not cumulative.
Award. Yeah, this is for singular performances.
He didn't stuff the sheet like Beal though. Beal had like 7 boards and 6 assists, right?
That's true.
He's got a point.
That's all right.
I think we should, you know, in this case, and we shouldn't set a precedent, but if you have a nominee, it should weigh on top of having a best mention.
He had 2 performances.
I will consider that for future conversations.
We can.
The Sandra Bullock argument. Mm-hmm. To bring up Sandra Bullock again.
We'll go with
the Sandra Bullock Razzie nominations. All about Steve.
Sandra Bullock is the worst. Are there any Sandra Bullock movies you like? I liked Gravity.
There's a classic.
That's it.
She's like incredibly popular.
She's really good in The Net.
But everything's bad. The Net, that's amazing. But her movies are bad, like generally.
What's the... Speed.
I kind of liked Speed.
Speed's solid.
Yeah.
Blindside's amazing.
No.
Blindside's great.
It's great. Great movie, John.
No way.
Great movie.
John's a hater.
You liked Blindside, really?
It was heartwarming.
What's not to like about it?
The acting, the filmmaking, the writing.
No.
He has a point.
It's all of those
things are awful.
It's like a paperback airport novel. It's an hour and 40 minutes of entertainment.
A paperback airport novel, which is a film based on a really well-written, highly researched, wonderful book that's nothing like that movie.
Mm-hmm. That, again, much like the International Stackhouse of Pancakes is just what's in the box score.
Right.
I judge The Blind Side on like, that was an entertaining Sandra Bullock movie that I liked more than I thought I would.
Exactly.
Like
She was a firecracker in that
Tim McGraw performance changed your life.
Leanne Tui.
Boys. Guys.
What's the one where she's the undercover? Fed up?
The Heat?
No.
28 Days Later?
No.
Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
It's really good, too.
Whoa.
It's great.
Yeah.
She's got all right.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. But she's made a lot of terrible movies, too.
I'm alone on
Sandra Bullock Hater Island.
I definitely can't remember the names of those.
She's a doll. She's an American
I feel like her romantic comedies in the last, maybe post-Miss Congeniality, have been a nightmare.
While You Were Sleeping?
Venn diagram of listeners overlaps a lot with Sandra Bullock movies.
She's everywhere.
So who are we saying?
She's permeating.
Chuck,
I'm going with Dame Lillard.
Okay. Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard. Congratulations on winning The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Dame right. Lillard has a trophy case full of these.
Yes, let's wrap this up before getting to a brief and sad, once again, although not as sad as it has been, Grizzlies
Thank
epilogue.
You. Thanks, Bulls.
All right, par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to in the last week of the NBA season?
Chuck.
I would love for Kevin Garnett to retire, but word on the street is he is not.
No.
The ownership in Minnesota.
Is he going to be player coach next year?
I'm not sure exactly what they want. But with the spoiling of the Warriors, the Timberwolves the other night, gives probably some hope to KG where he can be part of a team that may run to the playoffs again next year and be part of something like that.
I kind of doubt it.
I think in my mind, the Timberwolves are the team we will most likely overhype next year and then be disappointed by.
I agree. Yeah. Especially if they keep Sam Mitchell. I think that'll be pretty.
So
he may have saved his job with that Warriors win.
I mean, was a great game. They played good basketball and they're figuring out how to win those close ones. They were losing a lot of close games for a while, but I don't want Kevin Garnett around anymore. So if that's...
I'm a Kevin Garnett fan. So.
I just don't think he's just sitting around too much. And he wants to play for
He looked great in that black suit when we saw him in Memphis.
He really did. And he's my probably second least favorite player of all time, but he really did.
Yeah.
He looked smart.
He's made more money than any NBA player of all time.
On salary.
On salary.
Yeah, he's set up to buy a stake, right? In the Timberwolves, isn't that the rumor?
I thought you meant a medium rare.
Yeah, there's Omaha steaks.
He could afford all the wagon.
Kevin Garnett definitely gets his steak.
Bone in, T-bone.
Gets his steak well done.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
He's a giant man child. He gets it well done and someone cuts it for him. My part fadeaway is actually something you had mentioned to me, Chuck. I'm looking forward to more Eric Spoelstra calling timeouts after Hassan Whiteside successfully executes a pass out of the post.
Oh yeah,
was he double teamed or anything?
Probably not.
They were playing Detroit and Whiteside collected an offensive rebound and instead of immediately shooting it within 5 seconds, tried to shoot it for 3 seconds and then passed it out.
And then decided he couldn't.
Right, and then Spoelstra was so happy that he called the timeout, immediately walked up to Whiteside and gave him a violent high five.
That's amazing.
That one that stings your hand.
Yeah. Buddy.
It's all about affirmation. Affirmation.
Let me explain.
He's teaching.
The dish out from the post was a combination of sad and insufficient. It was this wounded duck kind of long arc. Right. It almost looked like he was shooting a reverse three-pointer.
He probably only did it because the parademons from Super Batman came and attacked him. And he was like, I can't shoot the parademons.
We are not talking about Super Batman on this podcast. You two are far too into it for me to have any sort of good discussion.
Would you like to go see Super Batman?
I need to go see Super Batman.
I think that's definitely a situation of they've been telling him for over a year and a half, if you can't get a good shot, just throw back out. And probably every single day for two, and he never does it. Right. He finally did it.
Whiteside's actually become kind of an interesting player, and he has some funny quotes.
I want him to resign him.
I do now, too. It's been such a weird roller coaster with Whiteside. At one point, he was my savior. The next point, I'm concerned that...
Sixth man of the year.
His whole life was going to be, disrupting the Heat's locker room.
I miss the days where you only called him Young Whiteside.
Young Whiteside. The boy Young Whiteside. But now he's he's given great quotes. Somebody asked him about Josh Richardson the other day, and he's I can't even get in contact with him. I have to reach his assistant after he won the Rookie of the Month. And he's always hanging out with DJ Khaled, which is big for me on Snapchat. So, Whiteside.
I did not know that.
I don't know.
That is amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Whiteside, you're the dude.
My final par fadeaway is, I guess, I don't want to say all the playoff races, but the two things I'm looking at the most in the Western Conference, I feel like the Jazz are playing great. As a Grizzlies fan, I'm concerned about it, that they can keep winning
and catch us
and eventually knock the Grizzlies out of the playoffs. But I'm curious if they can keep playing so well. And then I think they're going to put a fight up in the first round. I think the Warriors would actually hate to have to play the Jazz. That 1-8 is going to be brutal and wear them out. And especially as the season seems to be wearing out the Warriors.
The Jazz were a laughably easy inbounds play from beating the Spurs.
Yeah.
Just the other night.
And then in the Eastern Conference, I'm looking at the Pistons. And my question is, will Drummond be able to play in a fourth quarter? Because he's been he's in a bad free throw streak for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like to the point where like Aaron Baines is their closer and yeah. they can't even put, but again, they're still winning games, but they're not playing good teams. So my
the answer is no.
Yeah. My interest is
the Pistons are going to get in and go down.
Is yeah.
As much as I want to believe in Stan Van, it's just
how much more of that will happen. All right.
Oh, there is one really weird thing.
Oh, what's that, Chuck?
The Portland Trail Blazers have clinched.
Right.
Right.
They are the number 6 seed right now.
Right.
But the Grizz haven't, and they're the number 5 seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
And
that.
teams like the Thunder are actively trying to avoid.
Can you explain it to you?
Yeah.
Avoid the Blazers.
The Blazers have played 2 more games than the Grizzlies. So the Blazers have 43 wins.
They're locked
which in. Which is locked in.
Right.
But the Grizzlies, percentage wise, is slightly better, right. but has played 2 games less.
Okay.
So there you have it. Math explained.
Thanks, quit tanking, Thunder.
All right. Thank you for listening. Stick around for the Grizzlies epilogue. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. We post some stuff over there. We're on Instagram at Fast Break Break, I think. Follow us on Rabble. Rabble just updated their app. So you got a new Rabble app. You can change your profile and things on there now. And write us a review on iTunes.
Yeah,
helps us,
cool.
Helps us out. We appreciate everyone who's done that. All right. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to the Memphis Grizzlies epilogue presented by Fan Essentials. Go to fanessentials.net. Check out all the goods there. Choose your favorite team. Buy a subscription to get those goodies delivered to your house. So get all the essentials you need. FanEssentials.net. All right, the Grizzlies won a game.
Let's change this from the Grizzlies epilogue to the Bulls ha-ha Chucklehead Comedy Hour.
The Bulls are terrible.
In a must-win game, put up one of the worst performances you'll ever see.
It looked like Jimmy Butler was doing that Kobe Bryant, I'm going to choose not to shoot.
Sulk it away?
I'm going to.
The Grizz roster was depleted to the point that we started Jordan Farmer, Tony Allen, Crying Jordan.
It's
Briante Weber's corpse and Ryan Hollins' expiring contract.
Context clues made me feel like you just insulted Tony Allen. So I'm not sure how to interpret
Tony
it.
Allen, no matter how much you love him, is always a joke response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
So I guess the thing to talk about is the Grizzlies' magic number is 1. They just need the Jazz or the Rockets to lose a game or win a game. They have a very tough schedule. They play at the Mavs, which is a huge game on Friday night.
Huge loss. I don't think we're going to see another win, but I do think we'll probably see a loss from the other teams we need to
lose. But one of the funny things is you have a situation where the other teams in the playoffs want to play the Grizzlies.
Ah,
I think it's going to come down to it where the Spurs and Warriors both will have a shot of locking the Grizz into the 7th or 8th, and it'll be curious to see.
Oh.
If they can manage it to get,
but the Spurs and Warriors are both in like historical.
So that is the question: where will the Warriors go all out? Because the Warriors again,
the Warriors could play like 3-on-5 and beat us.
Yeah, I know that. This is my concern. The good part is you see them. I think they will be playing hard against the other teams if they can help out. If that makes any sense. The teams they're chasing, you know, against the Rockets, against the although the Rockets play an easy schedule, that won't help there.
I could see the Jazz or Rockets easily losing a game because of teams looking at their options and being like, oh, let's make sure that we put these teams out of contention.
Yeah, it's a funny situation. It's a sad situation where the Grizzlies are just holding on for dear life. And again, when you're looking at this, if they had not beaten the Bulls.
Right. Done.
Really, yeah, really dire
Done.
Situation. How do you feel about Ryan Hollins waived again?
Good.
Let go again. They signed a multi-year contract.
Yeah, with
Xavier Munford.
Oh, I thought they signed the King Cake Baby.
Oh. did Xavier Munford come with a tom that he can play between like strumming an acoustic guitar?
You're saying the name? Oh, the Mumford and Sons. Yes, that's where you're going.
No,
I don't know where your joke was.
Yeah, yeah, there's.
Hey,
there's. Sean's been yelling all episode. There's two jokes with Xavier Mumford. And I don't know which one to use more often. Is it the Professor Xavier
Well, he doesn't
theme,
pronounce it right.
Mumford and Sons.
If he pronounced his name Xavier, then maybe we could do this.
It is Xavier.
Xavier.
I thought you said it was Xavier.
No. I was corrected specifically on it on
Yeah, Keith corrected you. I thought it was just
no,
Xavier.
No, he said Xavier last week.
Oh, well, good. Well, yeah. Well, let's bring back the Professor X joke.
Yeah, we'll do that. We could call
Do you recall the name of Professor X's mind control machine? That allows him to detect mutants and take over the minds of anyone in the world.
I think recall is the wrong word in this situation.
No. No, what was it called?
Cerebro.
Cerebro, yeah.
Actually, I have heard of that before.
Yeah.
Do you know who Professor Xavier's brother is? He's an evil mutant with magical powers. And nothing can stop him.
No, I don't.
The Juggernaut.
That's him?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
If you want to make this an official game of scones, you have my blessing. But I don't know where you're going with this.
I'm trying to bring happiness into this otherwise dark, very dark Grizzlies epilogue.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we're only going to have a couple more Grizzlies epilogues because we're going to lay them to bed. We're going to have the funeral. The funeral's coming early this year.
Grizzlies epitaph.
But I think I want to say my takeaway from the Bulls win. I mean, right. you're looking at, again, the Nuggets and the Magic games were games I did not expect to win.
Right.
Those are young teams that literally more talented than the squad the Grizzlies were able to put on the court. But I was happy that they lived and died with Zebo in the Bulls game.
Right.
And he got a lot of shot attempts, and it went through him. The Lance Stephenson thing was the big issue there. What does that mean? Like, is it just?
Has there been any clues via Snapchat?
The only thing on Snapchat for the last three in his 24-hour Snapchat window, it was just all him in a bed, shirtless, taking selfies.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he does.
That's compelling and rich.
He also sends very cryptic, romantic subtweet. Level Ooh, messages.
Can you slide into DMs on Snapchat?
That's all Snapchat is okay. DMs.
Did not know that.
And yes,
he is DMing you.
He is not. No, I wish.
So you Lance, DM everyone.
Well, you DM most of the people you talk to, or you follow people and see what they do. Those are the two things.
You go back to talking to Lance.
I'll try to talk to him. I send him messages. He doesn't respond.
I mean, do you think in the Bulls game, it was a situation of...
Bulls are terrible.
No, it's a situation of I'm not going to play Lance unless we need him. If it's going well, or was it the fact that it was going well? He's like, you know what? I like the ball movement. I like that we're giving it to Zach all the time. I don't want to put Lance in
because he's not going to pass.
Because he's not going
to
pass.
I'm long past trying to figure out Dave Yeager's rotations.
There's
so
something that happened because that was weird.
I feel like Chuck is right. Something happened,
and we probably won't hear about it. But there was a thing. And it doesn't make sense.
Could have been a FIFA tournament.
I mean, as it stands right now, Lance Stephenson is your third best player, second best player.
It feels like it. You know, I mean, there's games where you're like, why isn't Lance in? I need Lance to come in because right. This is going terribly. We need someone
right.
who can at least be a threat.
And you would have thought, you know, with the runs that the Bulls did come and had, and they did kind of chop away that
beat. I mean, by the second half, you know, you couldn't put him in though.
Right.
Cause then at that point it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's too
and
late.
And then like if that like helps the Bulls run.
Well, I just hope they offer Lance that lifetime contract as soon as possible so that we can lock him up.
I wonder if it's a thing. I have no information to this avenue, but it seems like, I wonder if it's a thing where, Yeager was thinking that Lance had played well enough where maybe the team would exercise his team contract. And Yeager's like, I don't want that at all. So I'm going to sit him a game. Like, I'm going to show him that we don't need him or something. And the team responded.
I do not know.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any nefarious Yeager.
That sounds very turkey
machinations bacon-ish. Behind it.
Machiavellian machinations.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Pretty sure Dave Yeager's never read The Prince.
The Grizzlies have, again, Mavs is the game. Mavs is the game where we can relax.
Mavs are going to kill us.
I'm not, again.
Rick Carlisle is going to put on his Cerebro helmet and destroy us.
If J.J. Barea, I mean, the run's got to end, right?
No, because then Devin Harris has one.
Is he carrying him to the finals?
They have all the Vinnie Johnson wannabes on their team.
Should you put the Mav Western Conference champs? Could you get a...
Never underestimate
what's your guy?
The heart of
Peanut?
A champion.
Pickle.
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 If you say his name three times, he'll appear like the Candyman and shiv you.
Well, yeah. I don't want to do that.
Or at least
and charge you a vig.
Yeah, at least try to charge, take extra points.
That's perfect. All right, so thanks for listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. We'll have fun watching these final games. Big home game on Saturday on ESPN. That's the other sad thing is ESPN and TNT are picking up all these Warriors games, and it's gonna be gross. Gonna be gross.
Rabble on.
Anyway, rabble on. You guys have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Arrive safely.